Well, you guys, as I said, the Christmas season is upon us, and we are launching into our new series, God With Us. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about this idea of God with us. Now, again, I don't know where that hit you or how that hit you, but if you really pause and think about this for a minute, the Bible says in Matthew 1, 21 and 22, it says that Jesus was God coming down and that his name was Emmanuel, God with us. Now, this is different than any other faith system, any other worldview. The idea is that God himself became present in human form and actually lived among us. Now, you say, what's the purpose of that? Why does that matter? What does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to look at a little bit today as we start into this series, God with Us. And I kind of have two tasks for us today, for myself today as I'm speaking. I believe number one is to lay a theological framework or groundwork for what it means for God to be with us. And I hope that we can do that today in a way, maybe in a way that you've never really heard before. And I hope that it hits home and hits your heart deeply. And then secondarily is not just a theological framework, but secondarily is really an invitation for you to experience more of God with you, more God access. And I believe that we're going to be able to step into that today. So as I said, Matthew 1, 21 through 22, it says this, it says, she will give birth to a son. It's talking about Mary. And it says, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All of this takes place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I want to pause for just a second. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Maybe for some of you, you're like, I'm at a mountaintop. Everything's going great. That's great. I still believe at a mountaintop, you probably could use more of God with you. And for some of us, we feel like we're in a valley. We just feel like we're at the bottom. We feel like, man, as I look around, things are so hard. Things are so draining. Things are so taxing. I don't know what to do next. I don't know how to solve the problems that are facing me. I bet you could use more God with you. And as we look at this, the Bible says that Jesus came and was born of a virgin, but he came and he was called Emmanuel, God with us. And so there's something in the birth of Jesus. And in this December season, as we look at the birth of Jesus, celebrate the birth of Jesus, we understand that something in the life of Jesus has to do with God coming to be with us. It's really a fascinating, fascinating idea. And really for all of us, mountaintop or valley low, we need God with us. Really, that is the solution to every problem and every celebration that we face in life is we need more of God with us. And back in the Old Testament, Moses actually had a similar sentiment in Exodus 33, verse 14 and 15. The Lord replies to Moses, my presence, and in the Bible, it's capitalized, capital P, presence. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Again, I don't know if you could use some more rest, but the Lord's presence brings rest. Verse 15, Moses said to God, if your presence, capital P, presence, does not go with us, do not send us up from here. God, unless your presence is going with me, I don't want to go. God, unless your presence is stepping into my finances, God, we're done. God, unless your presence is in my marriage, I don't know how to make it work. God, unless your presence is in my study habits and in my schooling and in my remembrance and my recollection of the things that I'm studying, God, I don't know what to do. We need his presence. And really my prayer, and I believe your prayer would be mountaintop or valley low, God, we need your presence. And the Bible says that Jesus came so that God could be with us. So again, laying theological groundwork today and then inviting you to more of that presence. Couple ideas for you. Number one, if you've got notes, you're taking notes, write these down. But number one, first thought for today is this, is that there are two interrelated realms, the uncreated and the created. Now hang with me because as we talk about God with us, we have to step back and we have to start with some premises or premises, I guess, right? That's the plural. We have to start with some basic foundational understanding. Theologians call this in the Old Testament, they call it theological furniture basically the idea is when you walk in a room, there's furniture in place where you can sit and it kind of tells you where to put everything else. Maybe we would think of it in a living room, like there would be like walls and doors, doorways where it's like, well, you don't put a couch in front of a doorway. There are certain things that are in the room that help you understand where you want to put the furniture. And really, theologians talk about a Judeo-Christian room or a Judeo-Christian framework. And so as we think about God with us, we have to start with some certain things in place. We have to start with some certain walls and some certain doorways in place. And the first one that I need you to understand today is this, is that there are two realms. the unseen or the uncreated and the seen or the created. We might say the supernatural and the natural. There's a lot of terms we could use, but there's two realms, an uncreated, unseen, supernatural realm, God's realm, and then the created, natural, seen realm. And those two realms are interrelated. And it's fascinating because as we talk about laying kind of foundational framework, you see this in the first 10 words of the Bible. That the Bible starts out in the book of Genesis, and in the first 10 words, we have this framework right here. In Genesis 1:1, it starts out and it says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And what we see from the very beginning is that in the beginning, God, we see the uncreated, unseen, supernatural realm. God exists. So that puts to bed any thoughts of human naturalism. That puts to bed any thoughts of just, you know, we're all just here. There's really no soul. There's really no spiritual realm. It's just, we're just bodies. We're just mechanical beings. We're just time and chance. All of that goes out the window in the first few words of the Bible. In the beginning, God, there is a God. There's a supernatural realm. There's an unseen realm. There's a spiritual realm. In the beginning, God. And then check this out, created the heavens and the earth. God created time and space and matter. So in the first 10 words of the Bible, what we have is two realms, an uncreated God realm and a created realm where humans are eventually created. So a created human realm. And then we see in the book of Genesis that those realms are interrelated, that God walks and talks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, that they're actually in union together. They're not the same thing, but they are touching each other and they're correlated. They're interacting with one another. And we see that in the Garden of Eden in the Old Testament. The uncreated realm and the created realm. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth because there's two interrelated realms, the uncreated and the created. And in Hebrews, we see this in Hebrews 11. It talks about how when the world shakes, when our lives are shaken, it says that when things shake, the created things shake away so that we can see the uncreated things. When the seen things shake, they fade away so that the unseen things come to the forefront. And if you've followed Jesus for any amount of time in your life, you've probably experienced something like that, some sort of trauma, some sort of traumatic experience, some sort of rough season in your life where at the time you said, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And yet looking back, it's still is a terrible thing that happened. And yet you see that through that process, God met you and grew you and taught you and showed you things. And there were, in a sense, in the soul realm, in the spiritual realm, there were things birthed and created in a season where the seen realm was chaotic, but the unseen realm was actually advancing and growing forward. And we see those two realms, again, they're interrelated. Hebrews tells us the seen and the unseen. And what's interesting is that at the beginning of the Bible, where these two realms, there's actually relational access. That as I said, God and Adam and Eve walk and talk together in the cool of the day. That there's an inner correlation between the unseen, supernatural, uncreated realm of God and the created natural realm of humans. And they work together and there's a relational access. There's a correlation and a connection between the realms. And the Bible, actually, for the rest of the Bible, explains the correlation and the interaction between those two realms. So first, we need to start out, if we're thinking about God with us, we have to look at the furniture, the theological furniture, the foundational worldview that needs to be set in place. There's two realms, the uncreated and the created realm, and they correlate and interrelate together. Second thought today, if we're talking about God with us, again, laying theological framework, is the second thing is this, is that there's a connection between those realms, as I said, but that connection was broken through sin. And if you go read in the book of Genesis by the third chapter, what we see is that Adam and Eve are in fellowship with God, but they're given free will. They're given the capacity to exercise their own choice. And that in the ability to exercise their own choice on behalf of good and on behalf of purity and wholeness, and on behalf of God, that what they're also able to do is to exercise that will away from God's goodness, away from God's will, to their own desire, to their own direction. And we see that as many people are familiar with the story of Adam and Eve eating the apple off of the tree that they were forbidden to eat from. And so what we see is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and those two realms are correlated together. And there's a relational access between God and humans in that first reality. And then we see that in the book of Genesis, that relational access, that connection's broken, it's fractured. And that humans use their free will, their freedom, and their choice, their choosing capacity to actually choose away from God. And it actually takes those two realms and it breaks the connection connection the way that God intended and designed it. I will say there's broken access. There's broken access. And in Genesis, when they see the fruit, they look at it. And because, you know, sometimes we think, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to punch Adam. I'm going to give that guy a punch right in the nose. But what we don't understand is it wasn't Adam's fault. It's all of our faults, because we all do the same thing. And we all use our free will to choose contrary to what's good, the greater good. And we choose what is for our best interests. Now, sometimes our best interest is also the greater good, but sometimes it's not. And it says in the Bible that when they saw the fruit, that it was pleasing to the eye and that it was good for food. Let me paraphrase that for us. And it was pleasing to the eye. It was something that they desired. It was something they wanted. It was something they needed. Needed. It's something that they were pursuing. And you know, we do the same thing still, don't we? We pursue whatever it is. You can fill in the blank for the thing that you pursue, but it's that guy or that girl. It's that job. It's that success. It's that fortune. It's that dollar. It's whatever it is. We all have our things that we pursue, but really it's no different than the original thing that happened in the garden. And what the Bible is showing us is that there's this correlation between the two realms, but our sin, our desires that go awry, the way that we use our will and exercise our will away from God's good plan, what it does is it actually severs the relational access between God and the uncreated realm and us and the created realm. And really, if I could paraphrase Adam and Eve's desire in the garden, it would be something like this: I need to meet my own need because God can't be trusted. And when the serpent shows up, the serpent says, is God really to be trusted? Did he really say you shouldn't eat from the tree? If you eat from the tree, you'll be like God. And these voices start to kind of get into Adam and Eve's head, and they begin to choose their own way instead of trusting God's way. And we have the same decision today, really. And the Bible says that as we make our own decision and go our own way away from God's good plan, that what happens is that those realms are actually, the access actually broken, that it's actually severed, that it actually breaks. And broken intimacy becomes not just an individual and personal brokenness, but it is a cosmic spiritual reality, that the uncreated and the created realms actually had a fracture. And biblical theologians and scholars call it original sin. They call it the fall. And if you look in the New Testament in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us choose our own way, and it fractures the connection, the relational access between those two realms. And we begin to exercise our will against God and his wisdom, which, by the way, that's why the Bible says the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of God. It's the acknowledgement that, hey, God, you are in your own realm. You are not created. You are God above all things. You created all things. You know best. And so as a created one, I actually turn and I trust you. I don't just live my life according to my own desire and my own knowledge and my own wisdom and my own understanding. God, I look to you and I look to ancient wisdom. And God, I look to the one who knows better, the one who created me, the one who made me, the one that embodies perfect love, the one who embodies perfect truth and perfect freedom. God, you know best. And so, God, I trust you. And so that is how we exercise our will. That's why the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. All through the Old Testament, what we see is that we actually can't restore this broken broken access, these two realms that are fractured. We can't restore that through our own ability, our own religious observance, our own effort. The Old Testament shows us humans trying over and over and over again for thousands of years. We build the Tower of Babel to the heavens to try to make that work, and it doesn't work. Over and over and over again, the Old Testament shows us that human strength and human wisdom fall short of their ability to fix spiritually broken access. And that leads me to the third idea today, as we just lay theological groundwork, is that Jesus is the uncreated realm, I'll say, the uncreated coming into the created to restore access between the two realms. Now, this is absolutely fascinating. And if you understand the Judeo-Christian foundation, theological foundation, this is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's why it's called the good news. It is this fracture between the two realms, the uncreated and the created. It's the fracture that Jesus actually leaves the uncreated realm, steps into the created realm, and then actually brings them back into unity together so that we can have relational access with God in the uncreated realm. The uncreated creator leaves heaven and earth, steps down into his creation, and restores relational access. It's actually beautiful, and it's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible, but if we look at the New Testament, I'll start in John chapter 1. We'll read a couple of verses here. John 1:1-5, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, And the Greek word for word in this passage is actually logos or logos, which the Greeks would use for the essence of life. As the Greeks would sit around and debate, they would talk about spiritual things, and the Greeks were big into study and philosophy. And as they would sit around, logos or logos meant the essence of life. It meant the meaning of life. They would say, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What is this all about? What is this realm all about? Very philosophical, existential conversations. And the word that they would use in those conversations for the essence and the meaning of existence itself is logos or logos. And John in the Bible, he's writing and he says this, in the beginning was the essence and meaning of life. I don't know if you're picking up Genesis vibes here, but it's in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God in the uncreated realm made the created realm. And John is throwing back to this idea, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, was the uncreated essence and meaning of life. Check this out. And the Word, the Logos, was with God, and the Word, the Logos, the essence and meaning of life was God. God. In the beginning, God. And then, as I'm saying, he was in the beginning with God. So we have really quickly here at the beginning of John, we have John throwing back to this idea of these two realms. And he's saying, look, here's what I need you to know. In the beginning, the essence and meaning of existence itself was present with God. And it was God. It was him in the beginning. And then let's keep reading. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Let me paraphrase for you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Are you seeing it? Do you see the parallelism? It's absolutely amazing. And then watch this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it. He's saying, look, this is all back to the beginning. This is all a throwback to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, the Logos, the meaning and essence of life was in existence. And it created all things. And all things that you see and are created were made out of this uncreated reality, this God who makes all things. And then as you keep reading here in the book of John, and he lays all this out, and it's absolutely beautiful, and please go read it on your own time. But if we skip ahead to verse 14, it says this, the Word. Again, in Greek, it's the logos, the essence and meaning of life, became flesh. Pause there for a second. Do you see it? The meaning and essence of life that was from the beginning, that was in the beginning before anything was made, became flesh, was actually birthed into human flesh and made his dwelling among us. I'm reading John 1:14. Now the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love how the Message paraphrase says it. This really puts it together for us. It says this. It says the Word, the Logos, the essence and meaning of life, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Don't you love that? That God, the uncreated one, actually took on flesh, became flesh, and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. And we get this idea that there's these two created realms, that there was a severing of those two created realms. And then the third idea here is that Jesus is the uncreated coming into the created to restore the access points between the two. John 17:3 continues, and it says this. It says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you see it? The Bible says in the book of John that if you want to understand eternal life, you want to understand what salvation is, you want to understand what the whole Christian message is really about, the good news. It's really about this idea that there's two realms. There's an uncreated, eternal, eternity-embraced realm that was uncreated. And then there's a created time and space and matter realm. And then they interrelate with one another, but they were severed. And Jesus came back to bring them back together and to restore the access points. And as he did that, now eternal life, moving life from just the carnal, natural world, the time, space, and matter life that we all live for 80, 90, 100, 110, 120 years, 50 years, whatever it might be, that if you want to understand eternal life, understanding how to live eternal life is that you understand that the merging of these two realms and moving from the natural created realm into the uncreated realm actually is knowing Jesus Christ, because he is the access point. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you in a relational way, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I remember hearing an analogy years ago. There was a farmer. It was a Christmas Eve, and his wife was going to church, and he decided not to go. The whole gospel thing didn't really make sense to him. The idea of God coming down as a baby and being born in a manger was just kind of strange to him. He didn't really get it. So he stayed home. It was a snowy, cold, dark night, and his wife left to church, and he stayed. And he was just looking out the window, kind of enjoying the evening. And again, it was dark outside, and he saw a lot of birds. They were huddled in the cold, and as the wind whipped through on a cold winter night, there was snow and ice everywhere. He looked at the birds and he felt sorry for them. And he wished that he could help them out, but he didn't really know what to do. And then as his eyes kind of scanned over, he saw that his barn door was open. And he thought, if I could just get the birds into the barn, they'd be able to be warm. So he started thinking about how he could do that. And as the story goes, he tried all sorts of things. He went outside and he breadcrumbed bread or seeds over, and he tried to get the birds to follow into the barn, but they didn't really understand what he was doing. He talked to them, but they didn't speak English, so that didn't really work. He, at one point, ran around in a certain direction behind them and tried to wave his arms and run toward them and scare them so that they'd fly into the barn, but they just scattered all over the place into the cold. He didn't really know how to communicate to them where the safety and the warmth was. And then he thought to himself, you know, if I could only become a bird, and I could fly over and I could actually speak their language and I could tell them what I know from a different place and I could communicate to them where the warmth and safety is. At that moment, as the story goes, he heard the bell from the church ring, and all of a sudden the gospel hit him in a new way, and he understood that God, looking at his creation in the cold, in the bitter, in the dark, he said, I wish I could get them to go to the safety and to the warmth. And so he breadcrumbed for us the words of the Old Testament, and he came in his presence and maybe tried to move us into a barn, but we were afraid of him. We were scared of him. We didn't understand what he was doing. We didn't understand the language he was speaking. And so what he decided to do was actually to come as one of us, to actually manifest as one of us, and to come and to speak our language and to show us the way and to lead us into eternal life. And I love that because it shows us a little bit about what the gospel's about, what salvation is about, what being born again is all about. It's the idea that we don't just live in a natural world, that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who restores the relational access from the created to the uncreated realms. That's what Jesus Christ did. And if you read the New Testament, that's what you see. You see, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. To think about the uncreated realm where God is actually brings us into life and joy and peace and safety and satisfaction. And to be carnally minded, to be locked into what we see and what we think and what we feel and what we desire and what we pursue, and to use our will in that way, it actually leads us to death. There's two realms. They're interrelated. They were fractured because of the way that we chose and used our will. And then Jesus came from the uncreated into the created realm and brought them back together. The fourth point, as we lay theological groundwork this morning, is this, is that the Holy Spirit is in us. And really, that is both realms, the uncreated and the created realm, coming together and accessing one another again, a correlation point, an interrelation point, and that takes place inside of you and inside of me. This is absolutely groundbreakingly fascinating. And we just really don't understand the good, beautiful theology of the Christian worldview. But if you think about this, Jesus said it's better, he said to his disciples, better for me to go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit back to you. God's Spirit back to you. And we read in the Old Testament that God's Spirit would descend down on people for a certain time or a certain task and then descend back into heaven. And in the person of Jesus, we see Jesus baptized into the River Jordan. And as he comes up out of the Jordan, it says that the Holy Spirit descends onto Jesus and stays. And for the first time in recorded human history, we see the Holy Spirit actually indwelling a human being, God's Spirit, an uncreated spirit from the spirit, the spiritual realm, coming into the created realm and actually dwelling in a human being. That was the person of Jesus. And when Jesus goes to the cross and dies and then resurrects again, he says to his disciples, I'm going to leave, but as I leave, I will send the Spirit of God back to be with you, to indwell you the way that he indwelled me. And we see in the book of Acts, the reason the book of Acts is so fascinating is that the book of Acts is the Acts of the disciples, of the apostles. It's where God's Spirit comes back and indwells human beings like you and like me. And what we see is we no longer see Jesus just as God, because that's amazing, but I can't do that. But what I can do is I can live with God's Spirit in me. And so in the book of Acts, it shows us what it's like for human beings to live as access points to the uncreated realm, that God's Spirit, the uncreated realm, a piece of the uncreated realm actually lives on the inside of me. And I now become a portal, if you will, an access point between the uncreated realm and the created realm. This is absolutely fascinating. It's absolutely mind-blowing that you were created in the image of God and that you bear his Spirit. And the Bible tells us this: you don't know what you are. You really don't understand the totality of the kind of being that you are and that I am. And so the Old Testament and the New Testament invite us to actually explore God's word and to explore his presence so that we can continue to learn about what it means to be a created human being infused with an uncreated Spirit of God. What does that mean? What does that look like? Paul instructs us on what to do. He says things like this: stay in step with the Spirit. So as we're living in a world where we can see each other's bodies, we understand that there's a soul and a spirit that we can't see, and we understand that God's Spirit is dwelling within us as Christians, and that our job is to live in the created realm that we can see, but listening for and operating according to the wisdom and the presence of God in the uncreated place, and that we live our life staying in step with God's Spirit. We give manifestation to the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, this is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. How do we walk in that? Do we stir that up in our own ability? I'm just going to love people today. I just decide I'm going to love people today. No, we don't do that. We let God's Spirit get big on the inside of us, and we manifest the fruit of God's Spirit. We need to recognize the access that we have. And again, it's not my effort striving to do supernatural works. It's God's supernatural Spirit within me accessing into my carnal human body. And we partner together. No more striving, just abiding in God. And as I abide in God and I give him access to me and he gives me access to him, and we experience the realms coming together once again, we experience the life of God, eternal life. John 15:5 says this. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you see it? Jesus says there's these two realms. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you access into me and stay connected to me, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can't do anything. And this is true, you guys, for all the fruit of the Spirit. If you need more love, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll bear much love. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you'll abide in me, and my word in you, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. Do you see it? The difference between just rest in our life and restoration in our life is actually God's presence. It's that bringing together of those two realms again and again. You and I are access points for those two realms coming together. This is really what the Bible tells us. And this is where John says in John 10, come to me. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy, and I will give you rest for your soul. Let me paraphrase it like this. Come to me, all you who are living in this created realm and you're carrying your own weight. Come back to me and rest in me and restore with me, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you satisfaction. I will restore your soul. And this is what we celebrate when we celebrate the coming of Jesus. It's not just that we celebrate that there was a baby miraculously born and that he was God and we celebrate and clap for him because he's such a cool guy, which he is a cool guy, but we actually are celebrating the coming of the uncreated one birthed into the created order in order to bring the unity back together, the relational access back together between those two realms. And we are caught up right in the middle of the story. Not only can we access into the uncreated and relate with God the Father once again, but God's Spirit is sent back for us to receive, and the Spirit lives within us, and we become literal walking connection points between the uncreated and the created realm. The Bible says in 1 John, in this world as Jesus is, so are we. Fascinating, fascinating stuff, the good news of the gospel. And today I wanted to task one, lay the theological groundwork, and then task two, I wanted to invite you deeper into God with us access. And so I've done some theological groundwork, now the invitation. The fifth thought for us this morning and the final thought is this, is that God invites us as intersection points, as the correlation points between these two realms, to give him and his kingdom greater access into our physical world. And here's what I want to invite you to, is I want to invite you to see yourself as an access point. I want to invite you, as we look at this Advent and holiday season, I want to invite you to be more spiritually minded, because there's more life and peace there. And I want you to be able to lay down carnally minded, because it's death. And I want you to be able to actually just understand the access that you have back into the uncreated order, into the uncreated realm. Revelation 3:20 at the very end of the Bible, as God is kind of wrapping up his masterpiece of the Bible, the last book, it says this, as God's Spirit is speaking to the church, which is really where we're living, the time and age that we're living in now. And Jesus says this to the church. He says, here I am. Revelation 3:20, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person and they with me. What does that mean? What that means is that Jesus, the one who is the uncreated creator, the logos, the meaning and the essence of life, the one who invites us to eternal life, the one who's uncreated, sits outside of time and space. It says that he comes and he knocks on your door and he says, I love you and I want to be with you. And anyone who will open the door, I will come in and I will have relational access. I will dine and eat with that person and they with me. We will enjoy a relational access once again, all the way back to the garden in Genesis, these two realms created and the back and forth, God walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And I believe, and I know that we can live that way as we open our hearts, the doors of our house, if you will, to Jesus as he knocks and he says, anybody that opens up to me, I'll come in. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus is there the whole time. In Revelation 3:20, he says, I'm on your porch. I'm just on the other side of the door. I'm here. I'm present. I've come a long way. I've traveled to your house and I'm here and I knock on your door and I'm here no matter what you do. I'm here and I'm available to you. But what does God want from us? He wants us to open the door, to allow him to have more access to our world. And as we do, he comes into the house, into our house, and he dines with us. And he enjoys fellowship with us. Now, super practically, this totally changes. I mean, it changes everything, but it changes the way that we read the Bible. Because Bible reading is not just a check of a religious box. It's not a religious activity that we do. It is a peering into God's word, the word that became flesh and made manifest among us. The word of God is an access point between the uncreated realm and the created realm. And as I peer into God's word, God speaks to me from the pages. I don't just encounter the Bible to read a book. I encounter the Bible to meet the author. And the Bible is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't just read it. It reads me. And as I look at the Bible, what I'm doing is I'm actually opening up the uncreated realm and I'm bringing my natural understanding into the uncreated supernatural understanding. And I'm becoming myself once again, an access point between the uncreated and the created. As I pray, I'm not just trying to live my life on my own and my own strength and my own ability. I'm actually calling upon God and saying, God, I need you, the one who created all things, to intervene into my situation and to fight my battles on my behalf. And God, I bring the created order before you and I lay it before you. And God, you can create and you can heal. And God, you can do miracles. And so God, I bring these things to you and I ask you to intervene on my behalf, on the behalf of my family, on behalf of my school, my workplace, on behalf of my nation, my country, the world, that God, I ask you to intervene. And God, I'm fellowshipping with you. Jesus, my door's open. Come in and speak with me. that Bible reading and prayer become access points between the two realms, that worship becomes a time and a place where I'm not just singing a song, but I'm actually encountering a realm that I'm not always as aware of. And as I lift my hands and as I cry out to Jesus, I'm actually listening to his faint knock and I open my door and invite him in. And the uncreated and the created realm crash into one another and relational access comes back together again and I experience eternal life, the Garden of Eden. Fellowship with my brother and sisters in church and fellowship even in a space like this. And, you know, we are experiencing God's realm together in giving, in serving, in groups. We get to experience the intersection points of the uncreated and the created realm together. How do we grow in all of these things and Bible reading and prayer and worship and fellowship and serving and giving? And there's so many answers to that question, but one of them is this, is that we get stronger in the uncreated realm, in our spiritual man and woman. We get stronger in our spirit when we exercise our will in ways that lean us into the uncreated things. We get stronger in our wills when instead of just choosing the easy thing, the natural thing, the carnal thing, that I actually use my will to lean into the supernatural thing, the uncreated thing, that I know that if I sit down on the couch and watch a football game, that might be restful, but I know that if I sit down on the couch and crack open the living word of God, that it will not just be restful, it will be restorative because God's presence is there. By the way, God can watch a football game with you too, and I've watched some restorative football games. Don't misunderstand what I'm not saying. God loves He created us. He created us to enjoy the world. But I think you get my point is there's something about us using our will to bend us and lean us to the supernatural, to use our will to open the door and to let Jesus have access into our house. When we act as if there's actually two realms and that we actually have access once again in real life, in real time, in the flesh, in the here and now, and when we act as if that were true, that's called faith. And that's how we strengthen our will. That's how we grow. I'll close with this thought. Jesus has done everything within his ability to give us access back to the uncreated realm. He's on the porch. He came a long way. He paid a great price. And he's on the porch. He's on your porch. And he's knocking on your door. And he says, if you will crack open that door and give him greater access into your life, he will come in and he'll relationally dine with you and you will experience eternal life. So where in your life do you need to give God greater access? Where in your life, what room in your house needs a little bit of the uncreated realm? And I believe today that you can open that door. What action do you need to take in order to open that door up and give God greater access into your life? Let me pray over you. And as I pray, I want to requote Matthew 1, Emmanuel, God with us. And I also want to remind us of the words of John Wesley, the great John Wesley, on his deathbed. He's the founder of the Methodist denomination. He died on March 2nd, 1791, and reportedly on his deathbed, his last words were this: the best of all is God with us. And John Wesley died with that on his lips, and I believe today that we can live with that in our hearts. Let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for this morning. I pray for everybody listening, everyone within the sound of my voice. God, I pray for greater access points in their life. God, I pray that today through the theological groundwork and even through the invitation of opening the door of access to you, God, in a fresh way, God, I pray that they would experience more of you with them. I pray that in this season of Advent, as we look forward to the celebration of the coming of you, Jesus, that we remember that this isn't just a supernatural miracle that took place. It's actually a step in a process that's much bigger than any of us that started with the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that Jesus was the restoration point of the two realms coming back together, and then inviting us into the story to live as a collaborative access point ourselves as we live with the Spirit of God within us. So God, I pray right now for every brother and sister listening to the sound of my voice. God, I pray for fresh access. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they would know you more, that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened, and that they would be able to see the hope that you've called them to. God, I pray that you would speak fresh words, and God, that you would give fresh peace. God, I thank you, God, that we don't need to be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, we can make our requests made known to you, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in you, Jesus. The peace, the supernatural, uncreated peace that surpasses all physical, carnal, natural, worldly knowledge will rush in. And as we give you access through bringing our anxieties to you and bringing our prayers to you, as we roll them over onto you, God, your realm breaks in on us and we experience, we dine with you, Jesus. We enjoy your presence. And I pray that, God, today over us, that we would bring our anxieties to you. God, to the places in our house where we've kept doors closed, that we'd open them to you once again. God, that you want to come in and relationally restore access with us. God, you're not a God who brings shame or condemnation. You're a God that brings conviction, and God brings restoration. And so I pray for a fresh restoration. God, your word says in Acts that we should repent, God, that we should bring our sins before you and offer them up to you so that times of refreshing may come. I pray for every person within the sound of my voice that's struggling with some sort of sin, that's struggling with some sort of hang up, with some sort of disease or even dis-ease. God, we bring those anxieties to you. God, we lift them up to you. And God, we just say, God, we can't handle this on our own. We can't carry this on our own. We don't want to do this on our own. We ask you, Jesus, come in. We hear you knocking. Come in. Come in and have access in our hearts. Come in and have access in our minds. Come have your way in us and show us and teach us what to do. Come dine with us today. And just in a spirit of prayer, if you've never started a relationship with Jesus before, you've never asked him to come in, he is knocking and he will come in. And if you want to start a relationship with God, if you want your carnal, natural life to become re-accessed into the uncreated supernatural world of God, that's why Jesus came, to restore eternal life, salvation, being born again, the Bible says, that you're literally something on the inside of you is born again into a new eternity. And if you want to receive Jesus' sacrifice for you, the Bible says that Jesus was the uncreated creator that was manifest into the flesh, that he lived a sinless life. He used his will for the greater good, for God's good, his entire life. Ultimate love, ultimate sacrifice. And he gave his life for you and for me. He paid the price that I should have paid on the cross, and he died and went into the grave, and then he rose again 3 days later to prove that he was that divine access point between the uncreated and the created order. And then he turned and he said, I want you to come with me into this experience. I want you to be born again to experience the life of God. If you will come with me and you will trust in me, I can show you how. If you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life today and you've never done that, or you did it at one point but you want to do it again, pray this with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you're the uncreated creator and that you came and restored the access point for me to have eternal life. Right now, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to come in and to have every part of me come into my house. I hear you knocking and I want you to come into my life. I don't want to do this on my own anymore. And today, I confess out of my mouth and believe in my heart, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you that I have a home with you in eternity forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that with us, would you let us know? You can text the keyword element to 97,000 from your phone. And on that form that you get, there's a box that says, I made a decision for Jesus today. Would you let us know? We'd love to pray over you with our prayer teams. We'd love to celebrate with you. Would you just let us know? That would be a gift to us. And hey, we're just praying that God continues to reveal himself to you today. And as we move into a time of worship, I pray that you could just reflect on what you've heard and what the Holy Spirit has shared. And would you just ask him today, God, where can I open something up to you? Jesus, where are you knocking on my heart? Where do I need to open up for another place to you? And where can you come in, God, and bring the uncreated order into the created realm? God, I need you today. And would you just continue to pray that today? Ask him to come in and to reveal to you where he wants to grow with you. Guys, it's been an awesome morning. Let's go into a time of worship. Thanks for being with us today. We love you so much. We're praying for you. We believe in you. And let's go into a time of worship, and we'll see you back here next week.